Y'all be following along. I don't know if y'all follow along or y'all just with me. I'm going to talk about the careless Christian today. The careless Christian. Let's look at our text in Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Amen. Verse 25 through 32. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 32. Amen. Matthew 6, 25 through 32 reads as follows. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on it. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking one thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the fields, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God is able to take care of the believer. Precious Lord, we thank you, Father God, for being that kind of Father.
Yes, Lord.
Kind of Father, Father God, that knows our needs, knows our wants, and takes care of us. Father, thank you for being that kind of God. Thank you for dying on Calvary's cross for our sins. And then the sins that we haven't even committed yet, Father, you died for them too. Father, we ask that you be with us. Give us that peace. Make us careless in a positive way. Careless believers. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's not a sort of an odd title for a message. When we think of the word careless, we think of someone who is just a slacker, someone who seems like they don't care about things. God says we ought to be careless. We ought to be careless in the sense that we know we have a Savior. We know that God has taken the sting out of death. We have really nothing to worry about when God calls us and saves us. But we live in a world full of anxiety, full of folks just going through, folks scared of heights, scared of water, scared of bugs, panic attacks, scared of being in crowds. But that's gonna get even worse. All kind of social anxieties, worrying about what folks think about us. Worrying about if people are talking about us. There's a lot of things out here folks worry about. And this didn't just start happening today. It was happening in Jesus' day, because this is what Jesus is addressing to his disciples. Remember, this is the greatest sermon ever preached. Not the one I'm preaching, but the one Jesus preached.
Amen.
He preached the greatest sermon ever preached, and now he's addressing folks that got issues. Folks that would fall under the category just like us. We would have all been there. He would have been speaking this to us. You folks got issues. You're worrying about stuff y'all not worrying about. You know, you got sleeping problems. You got eating problems. You having heart palpitations and nausea and muscle tension. You can't relax. Did I get everybody? We going through. You know, I went to this website and said, what are the seven biggest causes of stress? Poor health, environmental stress. Now, see, I know there are environmental people out there, but I never heard really environmental stress. It says in our, it's everywhere in our daily life. Noise, crowds, pollution. Environmental stresses may be individually minor, but can accumulate to form a high background stress load, diminishing your capacity for dealing with stress from other sources. How about that? It's number two on the list. Significant life events, weddings, funerals, new jobs, moving. It's on there. Internal stress. Work stress. Anybody got work stress? These are working folks. These are working folks. But Jesus had an answer. See, the world's answer is therapy and drugs and all kind of stuff like that. That's the world's answer. Jesus had an answer. How many know what the word commit means? We think about that word commit. Think about a marriage. You make a commitment. Okay? Better for worse. Richer for poor. Death do us part. I like hitting that marriage thing every at least once a month. Keep y'all on your toes, y'all married folks. Because the world, you see, the world don't like marriage. The world don't like folk getting married, staying married. You staying married, you know, it gets harder sometimes. See, there's a commitment that a pastor has to make. Talk to these ministers today. You know, Pastor, see David out in Florida on vacation. Margaret can just jump up on a plane and go to Mississippi. Pastors can't do that. Amen. It's a different call. Amen. Now, you know, folks are telling me all the time, well, you need a vacation. You need a vacation. No, I don't need no vacation. I accepted this call. Okay, I can't be vacationing. You don't get sick days. You get them. You don't want them. You commit a murder. We hear about that. Commit a crime. You're gonna pay for it. Okay. How about you make a commitment to the armed forces or the military? You sign some papers. Okay. There's some things you can't do. Okay. If Jeremy was to go into the military, you know, he'd forget about them braids and stuff. That's coming off. Okay? You make that commitment, yeah, you'd be like me. See, an athlete, when an athlete signs a contract, he's making a what? A commitment. Certain things he can't do. He's representing his team now. See, when we make a commitment to Christianity, to be believers, we make that same commitment. We represent Christ. And with that commitment, we have to commit some stuff. See, we don't like talking about this side of Christianity. Okay? But when you make a commitment to Christ, first thing you have to do is commit yourself to Him. I mean, you have to commit yourself to Him. Okay? Now, I don't talk about being a careless Christian. This all works together. But when you commit to anything, it takes some stuff. You commit yourself. Paul knew. Paul committed everything. Y'all know it's hard to get through talking about commitment when I'm talking about the apostle. This great apostle made this commitment. This is what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy this week. Not 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Wherefore I am appointed a preacher. 2 Timothy chapter 12. Wherefore I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause, here's Paul, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Okay? You're putting a message together, you're getting ready to preach, you're going to suffer. Amen. All these preachers say amen. I gotta say some stuff I know everybody wanna hear. You're gonna suffer. Paul said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded, fully convinced, that he is able. There's our song. He's able. That he is able to do what? To keep that which I have what? Committed unto him against that day. See, you're gonna have a that day. And when that day comes, what you have committed, you're gonna be called on. And if you haven't committed anything, you're not gonna have anything to stand on. You're gonna stand before the Lord that day with nothing. Nothing. Listen to Proverbs, Book of Wisdom, Solomon. Solomon's saying you won't be a carefree or careless Christian. Proverbs 16. He says this great writer, Solomon went through some stuff now. He says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of men are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth what? The spirits. Commit, there's our word, thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Let me read that again. Commit thy works. Paul, everything. Paul said, I'm all in. Okay, Solomon said, I'm all in. Made some mistakes. Solomon made some mistakes, but when he looked back, said, I'm all in. Commit thy works to the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, even the wicked for the day of evil. Now, that's a little contrast for the last verse. He's preparing the wicked for that day too. See, everybody's going to be prepared in that day. The good and godly folks going to be prepared, and he's preparing the wicked for that day. There's a day coming. There's a day coming. Solomon again in Solomon's 19:21. He said, hear counsel and receive instructions. Why? That thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Proverbs 19:21. See, Paul and Solomon and all these great preachers of the gospel always was working on preparing folks for that what? That latter end. That day. You hear it all the time. You ought to hear it all the time in church. If you go visit a church, or if you like, man, if you got another church, you ought to be hearing this all the time. The preacher's job is to prepare his people. And I know, pastor, it's so repetition, you know. And you just wear it out. Over and over and over. The preacher's job is to get you ready. Psalms 119:133. Order my steps in the Word. Order my steps in the Word. Why? And let not iniquity have dominion over me. You know what? If your steps ain't ordered in the Word, the enemy will have power over you. Amen. See, somebody's going to be in control of you. Okay? Somebody's going to be in authority. Someone's going to govern you. You want to have the Word govern you? Or you can govern yourself? I don't think that's going to work out for you. Amen. Job. This is a crazy verse. Had to really do some work on this one. Job 29:6. Watch this. He said, when I wash my steps with butter. He said, when I wash my steps with butter and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. What is Job talking about? Job was wealthy and God had blessed him abundantly. But you know what Job means by when he says, I wash my steps? He's not talking about the steps like these steps. He's talking about his feet. He's talking about his going and coming. He said, I had an anointed walk. My feet, I washed them in butter, but I watched where I went and what I did. It was a picture of Job being a righteous man. Remember, they was accusing Job. You had to do something crazy, Job, because God wouldn't have touched you like this. See, that's how the word of faith people do today, you know? If you got a little fault, you got a little sickness, you got a little disease, you got a little problem, because you're not a woman or man of faith. You don't have enough faith. That's why you sick. Job said, listen, I wash my steps in butter. Okay? Job said, I made a contract with my eyes not to look upon a maid or a woman. Job was God's man. He was godly, but God still touched him. Amen. So you can be godly and don't think you're going to get through this thing without getting touched. You're going to get touched. Amen. The whole idea is be ready when the touch comes. Be ready when the touch comes. And if you're not ready when the touch comes, you know, everybody like Claire has somebody like that in your life that's going to come and minister to you. What if you don't have no saved folk in your life? What if you don't have no spirit-filled folk in your life and you get sick? Who going to minister to you? Who going to minister to you? Order my steps in the Word. Order my steps in the Word. Listen, the careless Christian has committed his soul unto him. And people say, well, Pastor, I know you talk about the soul. What is the soul? The soul is who we are. The soul is who we are by nature. We come with a soul. Okay? We come with a soul and a spirit, but the soul is what's at work, and if the spirit isn't activated, you're gonna run on the soul. You'd be like James Brown. James Brown said, I was a soul man. Okay? He didn't ever say he was a spirit-filled man. You can't die a soul man. Okay? I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. Watch Peter. Peter in 1 Peter 4:19 says, Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing as unto a faithful creator. Now what Peter's saying, you commit your soul unto the Lord. Okay? But when you commit your soul unto the Lord, the Lord has the potential to activate that spirit. Remember, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. That soul needs the spirit. It needs to be led to the spirit so it can come alive, to be made alive. There's a time when you're running by the soul, and sometimes the soul reaches out for the things of this world. Okay? And it has to be activated. It has to be committed to the Lord, that soul. That's what we preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel, Minister Brian. Preach the gospel, Minister Madison. Preach the gospel, Brother Jake. Preach it. Just keep preaching it. Jeremy's up here in the morning. He's just full and just talking about the things of God. Because he's trying to activate your souls. He's trying to activate your spirits. David said a man with a committed soul. You want to know, people say, well, how do I know my soul is committed? Well, David said, a man with a committed soul will boast in the Lord. He'll boast in the Lord. I was listening. You know, you get a victory, you get a great victory, you get a great achievement, you get a great promotion. Who you boasting in? You both got to be in the Lord.
Amen.
David had great victories. Remember, David, they said, Saul has killed 1,000, and David has killed what? 10,000. David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. Remember, David killed Goliath. David had a lot of reasons to boast. He could have been like, man, I done done some stuff. I done done some stuff. I'm a bad man. I'm the greatest. David wasn't like that. You know what David said? David said this in Psalm 34. David didn't take it. I don't expect any of you guys to take it. God's been good to us. I don't want to hear us running around here talking about what we did.
Amen.
We ain't done nothing.
Amen.
I hear people all the time, I'm so proud of these kids. I'm not proud of none of them. I thank God for them.
Amen.
I thank God for them that they come and want to even sing praises to the Lord. I thank God for them. But I really want to see them grow too. I want to see them grow into them songs. And then boast in the Lord.
Amen.
Boast in the Lord. Watch David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continually what? Be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear therefore thereof and be glad. Watch David. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Stop right there. Make the Lord big with me. Okay? When the choir's singing together and praising the Lord, they're magnifying the Lord. They're making them big.
Amen.
And when we live in this dark world where God is small to the unbeliever, we ought to make God big. When we step in a room, God ought to be magnified. Now, if there's a man of God, there's a woman of God. David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us what? Exalt his name together." I like this one. "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." See, we got to talk about the careless Christian. David was careless. He had no cares. Why? Because he sought the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his fears. It's not uncommon to have fears. I'm not saying that any of us, I don't have fears. I have fears. All of us have fears. But when we seek the Lord, he will deliver us from all our fears, and we can go on living careless life. Oh, we'll be walking around fearful. And the greatest fear is what? Dying. If we as believers walk around scared of dying, what hope do the unbelievers have? I say this. When men of God, when men and women who profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, when they get in divorces, when the church folk, when pastors and preachers and ministers and deacons and ushers and choir directors are getting divorced, what hope does the world have? Amen. What hope? What hope does? Why would anybody want to get married when the preacher getting a divorce?
Amen.
This poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped about round about them that what? Fear him and delivered them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that what? Trust in him. Trust in him. Paul says this. He said, "Listen, it don't matter what I'm doing, because whatever I'm doing it to the glory of God." That's how Paul lived. That's how great men and women of God lived. No matter what I'm doing. Whatever I'm doing, I'm giving God glory in it.
Amen.
Put a scripture on a pastor. 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." We ought to be God glorifying folks. When we've committed our soul, we've committed our spirit, when we've committed our works unto Him, our life unto Him, we're going to give God glory.
Amen.
We're going to give God glory. I think that's the missing piece in the church. Church isn't giving God glory anymore. See, the church so caught up in trying to play both sides of the fence. Can't give God glory when you worry about what the world thinks. I don't care what the world thinks. You know, the world hates God. I'm not telling the church is not for the world. The church is for God's saved folks. Y'all come in here and get equipped. And if an unsaved person walk in and say, "Listen, I want what they got," because they magnifying the Lord, they careless. The world not careless. They're worried about everything.
Amen.
The church ought to be careless. We worried about everything. I ain't worried about it. I ain't nobody. I'm not losing no sleep over none of y'all. I'm not waiting up for none of y'all. Listen. Now, let me explain that. No, let me explain that. See, we worry. We can sit here and worry about unsaved folks. Okay? You got unsaved folks in your life, and they will stress you out.
Amen.
You can't save them.
Amen.
Okay? And you can't sit up all night worrying about him. Listen, let me tell you something. I ain't worried about Ray. I ain't worried about him like that. Ray done heard the word of God. I done did the best I can. I done lived godly before him. Now, if he want to go out and shoot somebody, he on his own. I'm going to pray for him and keep praying for him. But I'm not losing sleep over him. Y'all don't know if y'all receiving that. Y'all been there? Worry yourself to death. for some godless person. See, this is why we had a church picnic. See, this is your family.
Amen.
See, some of us in here closer to our church family than our real families.
Amen.
Okay? See, we can make all this investment in our kids, and it'd be wonderful if you had some godly kids. But listen, I got brothers and sisters. I don't have nothing to talk to them about. Okay? I don't have nothing to talk to them about. I'm going to be honest with y'all. Y'all probably say, but this dude's different. I am. I can't spend a weekend with folks I can't talk to. Listen, they don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want to be around me.
Amen.
I'm going to... Because all they're going to do is they doing the same thing I'm doing. They trying to convince me to come over on their side, and I'm trying to convince them to come to my side. We're not going to get along. Tug of war, somebody said. Yeah, that's what it is. In the world is winning. So we leave here and you know, all our friends is unsafe. And I don't have no unsafe friends. I don't say co-workers and acquaintances and places like that, but I ain't got no unsafe friends.
Amen.
Pastor, you messed up. Commit your spirit unto him. Commit your spirit on him. When you do that, things gonna change. See, things gonna change. You don't have to change. You don't have to do nothing. I don't have to do anything, because when you commit your spirit to the Lord, things gonna change. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Okay? Behold, all things have become new. Now something new coming into the room. Something wrong with Uncle Keith. Uncle Keith ain't the same. Oh, he don't do what he used to do. That's right, because I've committed my spirit unto him.
Amen.
Paul, David said this in Psalm 31 and 5. He said, into thy hand I commit my spirit. And if the Lord has control over the spirit, he will control us. When I see a Christian, someone say they're a Christian out of control, listen, I'm going to say something. And I got the word of God to stand on it. They haven't committed their spirit to him. They haven't. But God have revealed unto them, have revealed unto us by his spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:11. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Spirit. You got the Spirit, you're going to be a Scripture searcher. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we may know the things that are freely given to us by God. God gives us, God feeds us, God nurtures us, God guides and protects us if we have His Spirit. If we have His Spirit. Listen. See, the happy church don't want no solid food. See, the happy church, the job of the preacher is keep y'all happy. Keep y'all happy. See, the happy church, Paul was dealing with the happy church in 1 Corinthians. It was a happy church. And I don't even know how preachers keep up with it. Trying to keep people happy every Sunday. You know, trying to keep people happy. Paul says this to the Corinthians. They weren't ready for solid food. They wanted to, they was just happy. Paul says, and brother, I could not speak unto you as spiritual. 1 Corinthians 3, but as carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not meat. Now listen, we got some babies up in here. Now, if 5 years from now, they still on the bottle, y'all gonna be like, we got some retarded babies up here, and I don't mean it in a negative way. Just, they're not growing. Okay? I don't expect any of these babies to be on formula 3 years from now. Okay? Some of them eating hot dogs now.
Amen.
y'all understand what I'm saying? Now, what happened to the church when Paul came back to this church? He said, y'all ought to be desiring meat. And what do they want? Milk. Paul said, listen, I have fed you milk and not meat, for hither you were not able to bear it. Neither yet not are you able, not even strong enough. Not even strong enough. Listen to this. For ye are yet carnal. Carnal. You know what carnal is short for? Carnival. So you can't get carnival without carnal. See, so a lot of churches really just carnivals. That's all they are. They want a carnival. That's what Paul said. You're a carnival church. That's really what he's saying. Y'all don't hear me. That's all the carnival church. Okay. We had all the characters in the church. Paul says, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal? Walk as men. Now, I can tell you about some churches in this town. Folks that have the church, mad at each other, don't speak to each other, you shouldn't have a picnic. Carnal. It's carnival church. And you know, people are attracted to the carnival. You can go downtown now. You can go downtown tonight. Mount Carmel. Mount Carnal. You got festivals all over town. You know, folks, they got hot dog machines, vending machines, you know, fried vegetables, whatever. Paul says this. Keep going. Give me your spirit. Paul said, give the Lord your spirit. Commit your spirit to the Lord. Commit your spirit to the Lord. Why? Because you need it. And you need it. I like this one. I can give you, I got scriptures all over the place. Let me give you Colossians 1:9. Just for shortest time. He says this. He says, for this cause we also, Paul, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire. Here's Paul talking about the Colossians. Believe it. Now Paul writing this from prison. This is a prison. He's writing from prison. Can you imagine somebody writing you from prison? You would think they would be saying, send me some money. Send me a food box. You know, come visit me. Paul writing from prison to the church. He's not asking for nothing. He says, that I do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you but might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That was Paul's desire for those folks. That's the desire that the pastor, these ministers, this church ought to have for you guys, that you be filled with his knowledge. Because you're going to have something in that day. You need some knowledge. You need some knowledge. The Bible says in Hosea, we talked about last week, our people perish. Why? For a lack of knowledge. We don't know the issues. We don't know the candidates. We don't know what's going on in the world. Half our young people probably won't even know who's running for president. But we voting. Don't even know. No knowledge. No knowledge of God in the land. We need to be filled with it. Filled with it. Here's Paul again. And again, Paul. I just love Paul. So Paul says this in Ephesians 5:19. I'm going to keep moving. I get stuck with this. This is so important that you have this knowledge. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, that's a command. That's not a suggestion. For the believer, Paul is not suggesting, well, you ought to think about, you know, being filled with the Spirit. Well, if you get in your car and you plan on going to Alabama and you don't have a tank, you're not going to say, well, maybe I need to fill up. No, you know, if you're going to get to Alabama, there ain't a car out there you can get to Alabama from Ohio to have a tank of gas. Okay? I got that thing out there, get 50 miles to the gallon. Not going to get me to Alabama on a half a tank. Amen. You're not going to get to heaven on a half a tank. Amen. Lord have mercy. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. Now listen, you can't speak to yourself in psalms if you don't know the psalms. You can't sing hymns if you don't know the hymns. And spiritual songs ain't just black people singing. But you know, we think the spirit is singing the spiritual. That means that's some brothers or some sisters. No, that's not what that word means. Spiritual songs mean the songs that flow out of the Spirit of God that's in the man or woman who's singing. Those are spiritual songs. Spiritual song ain't Mahalia Jackson, even though it may be. She did sing spiritual songs if you know it. But spiritual songs ain't just singing black people. It's spirit song. Song sung by people filled with the Spirit. Come on now. Am I making sense? Beer, am I making sense? Okay? If you ain't filled with the Spirit, you just singing. Okay? It's making noise. Listen. Sing with the Spirit. Listen. You're going to take off. You're going to take off when you get filled with the Spirit. You're going to fill with the Spirit. And I don't mean it's going to make you run around. I ain't talking about that. I ain't talking about praise time. Okay? Praise. I'm not talking about 10 minutes with and everybody running around circle. I'm not talking about that. Amen. I'm talking about a person who God has filled with His Spirit and now is singing hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. To the Lord. Giving thanks always and all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that in there? Listen. Because what God did. That's John 3:16 just flowing through those two verses there. But giving thanks to the Father. Why? For the God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So because of what God did and because of what Jesus did, we give thanks. We give thanks always. We give thanks always. And then in Colossians 3:16, I love this, and I'm going to be about ready to wrap this up. And it says in verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. You want to be a careless Christian? Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Know what that means? Let the Spirit of God rule in your heart, to which also ye are called in one body. And here's that command again. And be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. Be thankful for what? That God died. That God took the form of a flesh and walked this earth for 33 and a half years and was crucified and buried and rose on the third day. And therefore we ought to be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let me tell you something now. I get caught up with this stuff. Listen. Singing with grace in your hearts.
You saying, well, I'm with you.
I know you had a long night. Listen, singing with grace. What is grace? God's unmerited favor. God calling you and saving you without you even wanting to be saved. You was dead in your trespass sin on your way to hell, and God saved you. And now Paul is saying, singing with grace. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing with grace, knowing what God has done for you. Boy, when you hear that, that's going to sound good. Then that woman singing with grace in her heart. I remember she was lost. I remember where she was at. I remember where that brother was dead in the trespass. And I know, I remember the day God saved him. And now he's singing with grace in his heart. Oh, it may not get you a record deal with Sony, but it gets you a record deal with God, you know? So you're singing with grace. And it may not sound to the horizontal, but it'll sound good to the parallel. See, some of us don't sing. Go, we think we got to sing horizontal. And this sister over here got to like it. And listen, if God don't like it, don't matter who like it.
Amen.
And you need to be singing with grace. For by grace are you what? Saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. We don't have nothing to boast about when we sing. Get up here and sing with grace in your heart. Sing with grace in your heart. Listen, folks. Listen. Let me give you a few scriptures. I'm close. Why should we do all this, Pastor? Why should we commit our soul to Him? Why should we commit our spirit to Him? Why should we commit our works to Him? Why should we commit anything to the Lord? Let me tell you why. A couple of verses. Let me give you Romans 5:8. It says, "But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." See the thing? See the thing of the Bible? Christ died for us. Christ died for us. He died for us. That's why we give our lives to Him. That's why we give our souls to Him. That's why we give our spirits to Him. Because He died for us. Let me tell you something. You're in trouble if I die for you. Oh, you're in trouble if Minister Bryan died for you. You're in trouble if Minister Madison died for you. You're just a dead man. Dead in your truck and sin. And you on your way to hell. If man died for you. But God died for you. Listen. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin." See, we knew sin. Christ knew no sin. Why? "That He might be made the righteousness of God in Him." 2 Corinthians 5:21. Listen. Why should we do this? One more, Columbus. Because Christ was the curse-bearing substitute. He was a substitute for our sin. Because if he didn't die for us, we'd have been under the curse still. Listen, Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ has redeemed us." Redeemed of the Lord. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Amen. He was made a curse for us. Now, what if He had been made a curse for us? We'd have been cursed. Listen. Last one. Promise. Pinky promise. Last one. This is the most important one, maybe. Jesus has taken away the power of death. Death has no power over us. What are we worried about? Who in here worried about dying? Y'all being nice. No hands went up. Roy said, Cavs won a championship. I don't care no more. Curse have been lifted from Cleveland. Time to go. Listen. I'm going to leave Roy alone. Jesus has taken away the power of death. What? "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part in the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." Precious Lord, we thank You. Thank You, Father God. If we commit our ways to You, if we commit our souls to You, our spirits to You, our lives to You, You will make us careless Christians. We'll have a care in the world. Wouldn't it be something? Don't have a care in the world. And we ought to be careless Christians, because the greatest care in the world has been taken away.
Yes, Lord.
Taken away. God, You took it away. You're a good God. You're a faithful God. You died for our sins. We couldn't die on our own. We'd have died under the curse. But You died for our sins. That makes You a great God. And the choir said, "He is able." You better believe He is. He is able. He is able to save us. He is able to keep us. He is able to redeem us. He is able to bless us. He is able. We ought not be sitting around worrying about anything, because we serve a God that is able. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He's able. He's able. He's a good God. He's able. He's able. Doors of the church are open. Amen. All members here of Christian Bible Baptist, all members here. skip that part, portion of the service. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. I'm gonna have Minister Madison close us out with a word of prayer and a benediction, and then Matthew's gonna pray for the food that we have in the fellowship hall. Stick around, fellowship. We're gonna start calling this picnic weekend.